Nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo. Amen. We have the great joy today of celebrating the feast of the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is, you could say, its roots are in the Council of Ephesus, which declared that Our Lady was the Theotokos, a Greek term, meaning Mother of God, the God-bearer. And this is in the year 431, and it came out as a result of the Nestorian heresy. The heresy of Nestorius was that there were two persons in, you would say, in Christ, the Savior. There was the man Christ, and then there was the God Christ, and those were two different persons. So the kind of this weird, split personality thing. So that would mean that the Blessed Virgin was mother of the man, but not mother of the God. But of course, that was recognized as a heresy. And so this was declared a dogma of the church in 1931, 15 centuries after Ephesus. That was by Pius XI. This feast also, it has you would say genesis also in the feast of Mary, Mother of God, which is celebrated on January 1st. In the traditional calendar, it's called the Octave Day of the Nativity, or the Circumcision of Our Lord. And that really is, the Nativity of Christ, that's where so many other feasts come from that. The Circumcision of Our Lord, that's really a celebration that Our Lord had real flesh. That's the first time that he shed his blood. So even just the circumcision comes out of the Nativity. But then also, the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin, that comes out of the Nativity as well. For how was Christ born? He was born of a woman. He had a mother. And so we celebrate that very motherhood. Pius XI, he mentions too that this is a true, one of the reasons why we call the Blessed Virgin Mary our mother, because in Romans chapter 8, 29, St. Paul says that Christ has made us his adopted brothers and sisters. And so if we are the brothers and sisters of Christ, well, who's the mother of Christ? Our Lady, she's our mother too. So Pius XI points that out in his encyclical. And that was, what was the name of that? I can't remember now. It's not Veritatis Splendor. It's something Veritatis. Lux Veritatis is the name of that encyclical, Pius XI. Now, interesting, this feast, there are other ideas we could draw out of this, that the motherhood of Our Lady. First of all, I think this is also contained in that encyclical of Pius XI, Lux Veritatis. He says it's the feast of motherhood itself, all mothers. Motherhood is sanctified from this moment forward, and so has pregnancy, right? And this is also the feast, we could say, the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin. That's the feast of all tabernacles. In that, what is contained in the tabernacle? Well, our Blessed Lord, right? Really and truly physically present. Well, that was what Our Lady, she was a tabernacle, the tabernacle of the Most High for 9 months while she carried him. That's what motherhood implies. So there's the Feast of Tabernacles today, the Feast of Pregnancy, the Feast of Motherhood. And really the feast of all those who have just received Holy Communion. We carry in our bodies the body of Christ our Lord as well. So there's all kinds of ideas and things that we could be meditating upon due just to this feast. Something else in that Our Lady is called, she's an image of the Garden of Eden. In the spotless womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she conceived Christ our Lord. But Christ was the second Adam. The first Adam was also conceived without sin in a garden, a spotless garden, the Garden of Eden. So that there's kind of and the Garden of Eden was a type of heaven, where heaven is perfect, there's no sin, heaven is spotless, heaven is pure. And so there's a feast day for us in thinking about that, in that the second Adam conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, that pure garden, calls to mind the first Adam conceived in when the world was perfect and sinless. So when we enter heaven, when we finally enter heaven, either after this life or after purgatory, we are going to be spotless. And it's going to be our entrance into a sinless life, spotless into the garden of heaven. So this feast day is kind of a foreshadowing of our feast when we go to heaven. So that all these things are contained in this. and it's interesting in this encyclical of Pius XI, that he goes through and he explains, of course, all the history, the dogma behind Our Lady's incarnate, bearing our Christ, our Lord, in her womb, her spotless conception. He goes through all of the reasons, the arguments, the fathers of the Church, and so on. At the end, he comes and he praises the virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He points out that she is the model for all mothers. And then, interestingly, you don't hear this too much in encyclical these days, is he blames those Catholic mothers who use contraception or get divorced. He doesn't say that directly, but you can see that in there. And he says it in this paragraph. He says, "It is fitting that those mothers in our age who have degraded or neglected the office they have undertaken, either by becoming weary of offspring or of the marriage bond, it is fitting that they look up to Mary and meditate intently upon her who has raised this grave duty of motherhood to such a high nobility. For in this way there is hope that such mothers may be led, by the help of grace of the Heavenly Queen, to feel shame for the dishonor done to the great sacrament of matrimony, and may happily be stirred up to follow after the wondrous praise of her virtues by every effort in their power." I had to read that actually a couple times before I realized what he was talking about. Like I said, it's those two very, very gentle things he says. They've become weary of offspring or weary of the marriage bond. That's how they lay blame. And what does that mean? If you grow weary of the marriage bond, you seek a divorce. You grow weary of offspring, what do? You seek to avoid them. So it's good to see this, right? And it's really necessary that, you know, hopefully we'll get popes who can point this out in encyclicals, that they can say, look, there are people that fail in their duties. There are people that resort to these evil and illicit means to satisfy, or rather to alleviate that burden that they're feeling. But he points out also, look to the Blessed Mother. She felt those same things too, just because we shouldn't think of Our Lady as some kind of incarnate goddess. That's not what she was. She was just a woman, just like the rest of you. Now, she was without sin, but she still felt the burden of, you would say, mistakes. It wasn't like the Blessed Virgin, who was without sin, was also without mistakes or without temptation, or that Satan wasn't filling her head and trying to get her to sin. She felt those temptations, although they were always external. She was never internally tempted to sin, but still it was weary. It was burdensome, even for the Blessed Virgin. And we would say that her whole life, she suffered from the knowledge that she knew her son was going to die. She knew Christ was going to die, and that was a sorrow. She suffered from that. And you can imagine the temptations to depression, to sadness, to melancholy that she had to overcome. Likewise, she knew that her son was God incarnate, that he was the second person of Blessed Trinity. I mean, she didn't know that explicitly, but she knew his divine nature. She knew that divine calling of Christ. And that filled her with a feeling of inadequacy. Her whole life, she knew, I am an inadequate mother. I'm not good enough. I can never be good enough for this son that I have to raise. All mothers can go to our Blessed Virgin. She can sympathize with you. Don't feel like you're the only one. Gospel we just read was the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. Of course she felt like she was a bad mother. I should have watched him more closely. I did something wrong. This is my fault, etc., etc. She felt the same things that mothers feel. Inadequacy, depression, despondency. I mean, she never gave in, right? But she felt those things. And I have to tell this to people all the time. Feelings are not sins. Just because you feel like you want to quit, just because you feel depressed, that doesn't mean that you have sinned. It's like, did you give in to those feelings? Do you act on those feelings? So don't lose heart. Look to the Blessed Virgin. Look to her. She is As St. Bonaventure says, God can make a bigger world or a wider sky, but he could not raise up a pure creature higher than Mary. For the dignity of the Mother of God is the highest dignity that can be conferred on a creature. So she knows what we're feeling. She knows what we are going through. She is our own mother. She is a mother who loves us more tenderly even than our own earthly mother ever could. And so we can go to her in our sorrows and our difficulties. I would say especially let us be mindful of the burden that mothers bear, those feelings that they do have, and not be so quick to be harsh or to blame, you know, a wife or a mother, but to be rather appreciative, to be consoling, to recognize that that sacrifices that are inherent in motherhood. If you're a mother, if your wife or mother, there are sacrifices built into that vocation. Just being a mother is going to have and entail sacrifices, and it's good to recognize that. So let's thank our Lord God for giving us himself, giving us the Blessed Virgin, giving us a mother who loves us tenderly and to whom we can have recourse in our tribulations. So Our Lady, Blessed Mother, pray for us. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.